pick. Colossians 1:18 says, and he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 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 That means number one, numero uno, the top. And we're going to study all kinds of aspects of that in the next 4 weeks. Proto. You know, when you talk about a prototype, it means the first of its kind. And in the Greek, when it says firstborn, it's the word protokos. Prototokos, I should say. And it means firstborn. Really, one of the meanings is preeminence. At work, when they're designing something new, before they start to mass produce it, they make a prototype. The first one to test it out. And Jesus is the firstborn in so many different ways, the prototype of what we are to become. And so we're going to be taking over the next 4 weeks, different aspects of firstborn. The first one this week is about the image and likeness. The Bible says he's the firstborn of every creature. And when it says that in that sense, it's not speaking chronologically, because obviously Jesus was born many thousands of years after Adam. But when he says he's the firstborn of every creature, it's speaking he's the prototype of a new creature. The Bible says that we are a new creature in Christ. And we're going to be studying that this week. And then next week, the Bible says he's the firstborn among many brethren. And that's all about sonship. And we've covered some of that before, but we're going to go over some of that before. And he's the firstborn son, it should say Mary. I don't know, the Y got cut off. Firstborn son of Mary, and that's going to be about the incarnation. That will be week 3, that'll be our Christmas service. And of course, very important, the Bible says he's the firstborn from the dead. Amen. That even though ye were dead, yet shall ye live. Yet shall he live. And that means he is preeminence, and that's about restoration. So this week we're going to study about image and likeness. Image and likeness. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the image, speaking of Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. See, we were originally created in God's image. That's what Genesis 1:27 tells us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So if you were to look in a mirror and look at yourself, you probably, if you're probably over a teenage, probably there's things you're not happy with. Yesterday, about 10 o'clock, which is Saturday morning, I had slept in a little bit first. Well, I hadn't slept in, but I hadn't really made the bed or anything. I just jumped out the bed, washed my face, and that was it. And I was sitting at my little table, starting to do some work at the computer. And my wife called me, and she said, turn on the camera. I said, no. I said, I'm not turning on the camera. I don't want you to see what I look like right now. Because I looked pretty terrible. I hadn't been sleeping. My hair was all sticking up. I looked like Don King. But she kept on insisting, turn on the camera. But so since it was, she's my wife, I turned on the camera. And she started laughing. I said, you made me turn on the camera. I didn't want you to see what my image looked like. Then she said, show me the bedroom. I said, no, I'm not showing you the bedroom. I said, I'm not going to show you the bedroom because I haven't made the bed yet. And there were things around the room. I said, I'll show you downstairs. So I went downstairs. See, I said, see, everything is still perfect downstairs. I've kept it. I haven't touched downstairs yet. But she was laughing. I said, now that's not fair that you wanted to see my image. You know, the trouble is we have fallen so far from the image that God created. So far. God created us to be in his image. When Adam was first born, he was born a son of God. He was created a son of God. And when we look at the standard, you know, of perfection. It can if you have a conscience, it can depress you, can make you feel guilty, because many times I think, well, you know, I'm supposed to be the pastor. I got to really watch what I do, watch what I think, watch what I say. I've got to set an example. And I'm not where I want to be. See, I didn't want to turn on the camera on me. I didn't want anyone to see me as I really was yesterday morning. So as soon as she hung up, I went and got dressed and combed my hair and dressed up. But it was too late. She saw me as I was. The grace of God sees you as you were. But the beauty and the mercy of God calls you not as you are, but as you can be. He calls those things that are not as though they are. You know, one way to motivate people is to start treating them the way they ought to be. Who knows, they may actually live up to it. They'll try to live up to that. If you have very low expectations of people, they'll fulfill them all the time. Amen? And so one of the things to motivate people is to treat them with respect, to treat them as if they are someone else. And sometimes that works. People understand that you treat them with respect, so they try and when you're there, do differently. God, when he created us in perfection, as we've said so many times. The Bible says about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He was the prototype, the first of that type. Although Adam was created in God's image, he did not fulfill it. He was still, in essence, a baby. A baby is perfect for a baby, but a baby is not the fulfillment of the grown person, is it? So Adam was perfect for a baby, but he had never remained to grow to be the fullness of sonship. So that's what Jesus is. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What is God's image? Someone said it. Love. Yes, God is a spirit, but the nature of that spirit is what? The true image, which is what I'm trying to convey to you today, of God is love. That's the image that God has. That is his image. The Bible says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. A lot of us live in bitterness, live in hate, live in just meanness. You know, we got out the wrong side of the bed and we're just in a bad mood. Don't nobody come and talk to me today. Right? I don't want to speak to nobody. I'm going to, you know. Sometimes that's how we are. We just get up mad. And we're ready to take it out on anyone who says good morning. You know, what's good about it? That's our attitude. But God's image, God's true image, is love. And the devil has been so clever in distorting God's image to being one of vengeance and destruction and judgment. But truly, truly, God's image is love. When Adam and Eve were created, if they were created in his image, then they were created in an image of love. Love. Love that we probably don't truly yet really understand. For God so loved the world. And that is God's image. And I'm going to give you the end of what I'm going now. That's where we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be his image, his true image. And we are supposed to project an image of love. Of love. What's the greatest commandment? That's the greatest commandment, that you love one another, that you care about one another. You may not be able to do anything as far as, I may not have any money, if that's what your need is. But if I care about someone, I'm going to be praying for them. I'm going to be, what can I do? What can I do to encourage them? Well, I gave you the end before the beginning, because this is where I'm going with this. When we are born, we are supposed to bear the image of Christ. And that image should be love above all things. And we see that. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And for us, most of us, that becomes like an abstraction. Yeah, God loved the world. But the meaning of it, the true meaning of it, really doesn't hit us. It does the reality of really what that means. Because you see, we probably can only love one or two people. Truly. You know, maybe we have a love for our spouse, we have a love for our children. But how much do we care about other people? How much are we concerned that that person there is going to be lost eternally from God? You know, what is the depth of our love? How do we measure it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's image is really in action, is love. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. We're talking about being firstborn. And the truth is, how much do we love one another? Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You cannot, the Bible says, you cannot hate your brother and truly love God. And by brother, I don't think it just means people in here. It doesn't just mean people. And I'm going to show you. It means people who hate you. Now, that's hard. It's easy to love someone who is nice. And we want to be around people who are nice and love us. But can we see beyond that person's outer shell, their nastiness, their hate, to the fact that that was once an innocent baby? You know, the point is, who hates babies? I mean, who truly can come across a one-month-old baby and say, I hate you? Is there anyone in here would do that? Just look at a baby and say, I hate you. I can't stand to be around you. But in essence, that's what we're really doing, because that person was once that baby. Do you follow what I'm saying? That person was once that little baby who was helpless, who was innocent, born in perfection, in innocency. And in essence, what we're saying is, I hate you. I can't stand you. I'm going to leave you lying right on the side of the roadway. I want to get away from you. That's really what we're saying. If I can bring it home to you, we're not really being in the image of God. Because God is not looking at that hateful, nasty person, that murderer, that adulterer. The Bible says that he would that none should perish. What? Does it mean none, or does it only mean the people who haven't murdered people? Does it mean the people who haven't been drug addicts? Does it mean the people who are pedophiles? The depth of God's love, we have no real conception of, because we just can't get there. I find it hard to I'd find it hard to love someone who could torture someone. Something happened in that person's life. They lost the image when they were first born. Because God has given us a metaphor, a symbol in a baby. When the baby is first born, it's innocent. As I said, I don't know too many people who could look at a one-month baby and say, I hate you, you're just horrible. They can't do it. And yet we would look at that same baby 20 years later and say the same thing. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Now that doesn't mean you love what the person has become. No. Doesn't mean that you love what they're doing. No. Jesus said, but if by all means, Paul said, I should say, if by all means I could save. You notice Paul speaking to all of these people. He didn't really accuse anybody. He witnessed to them. When he got before Festus and Agrippa, he didn't say, you killed Christians, you locked them up, I hate you. No. He just started to tell them the gospel. He tried to be the image of Christ. And that's what we got to be. If we have to go back to being firstborn. That's what this is about. Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. It's not merited. It's not deserved. This scripture says, 1 John 4:6, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So if we can get back, and can you think of someone right now who you detest? Okay. Probably more than one. Probably there's some people that you would rather not be in the same room with them. Now, reverse that picture to when they were 5 days old. Would you still hate that baby? Even Hitler was a baby. People say, well, if you had the chance to go back in time when Hitler was a baby, would you kill him? See, it's not for us to decide who lives and dies like that. What I'm trying to tell you is that God's image is love. And when we're first born, that's the image that we're born with. Even in the flesh, the baby, all the baby wants is love and to be held and to be comforted. Thessalonians says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father. And in fact, in the original Greek, it makes it sound like there's Jesus and God. But really, that word and should be translated even. Now, Lord Jesus Christ himself, even God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. See, and I'm going to be preaching about this, but my nephew, you know, they believe that he committed suicide at 25 years old. Had no hope. Had no hope. But if you are trying to be in the image of God, the Bible says this, he has given us everlasting consolation and good hope. It's the lack of hope why people give up, because they think there is no way out. They've lost that image of love. I'm going to go on. Luke chapter 9, 52. Let me give you an example. The whole Old Testament, if we only had the Old Testament to go by, and we didn't have the revelation, the image of God that would be presented would not be one of love, would it? It would be judgment and extreme strictness and extreme vengeance. Because we see in the Old Testament that everybody who disobeyed, they died. Hebrews said they died without mercy. Man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day was killed because he broke the law. Now, was that what God's image is? See, the reason people can't believe in God, they look at the Old Testament and the judgments that came, and they believe that that is the image of God. What they do not understand is that that was not God's image. And you say, well, then why is it in the Old Testament? And you'll have to come to Bible study to understand that. But that was not God's image. He had turned over jurisdiction, or at least the operation to the angels. And all they could do was carry out the law. You know, a policeman can't change the law. He's not supposed to, is he? Only the judge, only the lawgiver can change the law. The Bible says that the law was given under the mediation of angels. And it was the angels who had no mercy, as I've taught so many times. God warned the children of Israel, listen, I'm putting an angel, he's going to lead you, and beware of him because he will not pardon your transgressions. He doesn't have the authority to change the law. A policeman can't suddenly say, well, you know what? I saw you go through a red light, but I'm going to not give you a ticket because I'm changing the law. He can't do that. He's supposed to give you a ticket. Now, occasionally they have mercy and they just give you a warning. But technically speaking, he is not supposed to do that. If you break the law, he carries out the enforcement of the law. So the Old Testament presented an image which the devil used as being something judgmental, but that was never God's image. We can see that because before the law, even when Cain killed Abel, what happened to him? Did God kill him? No. No. God was merciful. When dealing directly with God, God put a sign on, a mark on his head so that he could do what? Escape judgment. That's where we get the mark of Cain. God was merciful, but once the law came, it was a different administration. And the image that was presented of God was so terrible, so judgmental, that people could not easily come to God. And we find now that the devil uses that to libel God and say that's his image, that he's one of vengeance. Now I want to read you this scripture to show you, to prove what I'm saying. In Luke chapter 9, verse 52, shortly before Jesus was going to be crucified, he was on his way to Jerusalem with his disciples, and they came by a Samaritan village. Luke 9:52, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And the Samaritans wouldn't receive him. They said, unless you're going to stay here and come to us, we don't want you. If you're only going to come for a little bit and then go on to Jerusalem and leave us, we don't want you. And his two disciples got mad. Well, how dare they? Don't they know who this is? What an insult. Don't they know who this is? And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Let's call down fire on them. Just like Elijah did. Elijah did that in the Old Testament. Was that the image that God wanted to project? No, it was not. No, it was not. Jesus said, you don't understand. You see, because Jesus now came to reveal the true image. Men couldn't do it. The prophets couldn't do it. All they could do was use the law to bring condemnation and judgment and harshness. And Jesus came to show the true image of God. So what did he say? Verse 55, but he turned and he rebuked them and said, he know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Don't you understand? I am the true image of God. What happened in the Old Testament was the angels. We were under the law. That image was not what I wanted to project. But I gave my word. And I had to let that image go because that law showed man how far he was from truth. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man, the image of God, is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. See, many times we look at this and we say, yeah, see how hateful and mean of John and James. But you know, we have wanted to call down fire on some people. Come on now. We have wanted, Lord, smite them. Come on now, let's be honest. We've wanted to do that. Lord, just destroy them. Get them out of my way. We have wanted to do the same thing. You know why? Because we're not yet fully the image that God wants. We should look on that person who is doing that to us with great pity and sorrow. Jesus himself, when they were nailing him to the cross, what did he say about those soldiers? People who are coming against you don't know what they're doing. So you can get mad at them and be like James and John and I want to destroy, but that's not what God's will is. And I'm trying to tell you something about why we do not get our prayers answered. It's because we're not yet first born into that image. Because the image that God wants of us is love. Love. That's hard. But I can get you there because all of you have brothers and sisters. There have been times when you've been mad at them. And children too. I mean, really mad at them. But don't anyone else start to join in and start to criticize them. Don't make that mistake and say, yeah, your children are real bad. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. They'll be complaining and whining to you how bad their children are, and you say yes, you'll get a different atmosphere.
So much that his image began to look like the devil to me. And I wanted him dead. I've since flipped that, knowing that that's not the right thing or the right way to go or wish on somebody. He's my firstborn. Okay. He's changed a little bit, but I've changed more. I know now how to pray for him as to pray against him. There was one point I had to call the police on him myself. I thought I'd never do that, okay? But I did it, and I wasn't ashamed of it, and I'm still not. He throws it in my face. I don't care. You deserved it, Amen. Okay? That's how I put it to him. You're not going to make me feel guilty for that, Amen. Okay? Amen. But I know now how to pray for his behind as opposed to not. And I'm loving that image in me. Yes. And he's recognizing it. He's like, Mom's changed a little bit. Yeah, I have. And you better be glad.
Amen.
Give all the glory to God. I mean it with all my heart.
Amen. You'll see in the scriptures that I'm coming to that about our image and how we can change it. Because when a baby is born, it's born with a certain image. That baby's innocent. As I said, there's very few people just look at a baby and say, I hate you, can't stand you, want to get away from you. There's not many people would do that, even though that baby 20 years later could be the most terrible person. Jesus showed here the true image of God. He said, listen, it was never my intent to destroy people. Never. Never. Never my intent. Sister Janice, I'll let you make your way down. We get workouts here today. We'll get workouts. Maybe we'll put the mics in the middle of the aisle then. But Sister Janice.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say that, you know, as we become image, we have the image, the new image of God, that we have control over our own spirit. Because sometimes, you know, no matter where you're at work, you know, people try to throw off that little mean spirit that they have and then try to put it on you. And then I just be smiling, look at them like, I'm not receiving that. You know, my day is good.
Amen.
You know, you're not finna destroy my day because you having a bad day. You know, and Lord knows, you know, where I work at, you know, people have bad days all day long. But I'm still in control of my spirit. I can't let what circumstances around me upset the way I am because I live for Christ. And they were like, why are you so happy? I'm like, ain't no snow for the month of November. You crazy.
Amen.
And every time I think about, you know, you just begin to think of the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done, and you just begin to rejoice.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
You don't have to be upset about certain things because you don't have no control over it anyway.
Amen.
And that's what I'm learning.
Amen. I've got a scripture coming up to go along with what you said. So the image that we, as firstborn, that we have to present is different from the Old Testament. We are not here to call down fire and damnation on anybody. We really should be praying, God, give them mercy. Open their eyes. Open their understanding. Truly, if we had the right image, we'd be saying, Father, forgive them. For they really don't know what they're doing. Does a 1-month-old baby know what he's doing? He's going to poop. He's going to make a mess. You put something that's dangerous, they're going to put it in their mouth and start chewing it. You would let a baby do that? No. You would try and save that baby. You wouldn't look at that baby and say, that baby's useless, good for nothing, can't look after himself. But that's what we are. Jesus here is showing what the firstborn image is. He rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Let me give you some things that the image that Jesus, which is totally contrary to normal understanding. Matthew 5:39, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Does that make sense? No. You want to hit me, I'm going to hit you back. It's not normal to say, okay, I'm not going to fight you on this. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. What? That makes no sense either. I am showing you the full mark. Paul said, till we all come to the full measure, the full measure. We may think ourselves so holy and righteous, but we have a long way to go to get to the full measure. So I don't want to go with anybody. They want you to go a mile, you go. I'm thinking about this evening, right? We had been invited many months ago to go down to Chicago tonight to support the Stokes. And my wife, you know, she had the funeral and couldn't be there. And you think I want to go? And it's going to snow? I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Give unto him that asketh thee. Now, I'm doing better on this one. Because, you know, before I would look at the person and then decide whether I want to give them one or not. But that's not what the scripture says, actually. Because truly, when we give to someone, we're giving as unto who? The Lord. You're going to look at the Lord and say, I'm going to give you this week, Lord, but next week I'm not. No. Now, if that person, obviously you don't want to throw your pearls before swine. But on the other hand, you can't make that judgment all the time and be like, I'm not giving to you until you meet my standards. Because God won't bless you that way. Jesus says, give to him that asketh thee. You're right. Now, there was a guy who used to come about a couple years ago, and he would only come at the end of service, and the only reason why he came was to get money. And he did that for maybe 10 weeks in a row, and every time he came, I would give him something. I would have probably kept on doing it, but then one Sunday I wasn't here, and he came and he hustled some people in here. He didn't come to me. He went to one, and I said, okay, all right, that's enough now. I can see that you are not intending. I said, listen, that's it now. If he had kept coming to me, I'd have probably, but the way he did it, I said, listen, that's it now. If you do that, you can either come to the service, but if you just come and you go to someone else to get money, no, that's not happening. Because his only intent was to get the money, you know. But on the other hand, there have been people that come one, two times, I know why they come. They only come for one reason. And even though maybe I think that, I'm going to go to the extreme with them as far as helping them. Verse 44, love your enemies. Ooh. Can you think of someone who's done you bad right now? Can you love them? Can you pray a blessing on them? Lord, please bless that person, Lord. Give them a blessing at work. Give them a better job, God. Give them some money. Bless them with a new house and a car. Bless their marriage. Can you do that? Can you do that? I'm talking about firstborn image. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use. I am telling you some secrets here for your blessing. You do this, God is going to look at you and he says, you know what? This person is projecting my image. This is what I want. This is what I can use. See, we don't do that and then we pray and we expect God to bless us when we are not being in his image. I'm talking about firstborn. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That makes no sense. But this is the image. This is the image. See, the image of God was really fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus was God's true image. The Old Testament is not, and people may not understand this, God's image. That's the image of the law. And I'm going to prove it to you. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that expressly, who being the brightness of his glory, that's Jesus Christ, and the express image. So if you really want to know God, you have to know Jesus Christ. You cannot know Jesus Christ through the law, through rules, through obeying rules. You'll never know Jesus Christ because that's not Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is the express image, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now let me prove it to you. that the law was the wrong image. Look at this, Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very, what does this word say? Not the very image. It was not the image that God wanted, but he had to give it. And I can't get into it in this Bible study, but the scripture here says the law was not the image of God. It was harsh. You think about the pictures we have of God as an old gray-bearded man with a lightning bolt. That was not the law. That was not the image that God wanted to... That was the law. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, was not the very image of the things. And it could never with sacrifices, it could never with being good, make the comers thereof perfect. It couldn't do it. Because it was all about vengeance and getting back. In the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You blind me, I'm going to blind you. And they were all blind. As much as it would feel good getting back at someone, you know, you really have only hurt yourself. So Jesus was the firstborn. When it says he's the firstborn of every creature, he was the firstborn to prove God's image. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. We cannot really understand the love God had and the love that must have been created in Adam, except through Jesus Christ, who was the second man, Adam, the Bible says. Let them have dominion over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Now, if the Bible says God is love, Adam must have been created in love. That explains now. You know where I'm going? That explains what happened. The Bible says that Adam was not what? Deceived. That means, though the devil tricked Eve and said, if you eat this fruit, you'll become as God, you'll be wise. When she brought that story to Adam, the Bible in the New Testament tells us, Adam knew it wasn't true. Adam knew it wasn't true, so he could have saved himself. He could have saved himself. He could have said, mm-mm, you messed up. You got fooled. But the Bible says he was not deceived. So if he was not tricked and he knew it was a lie, what was the reason that he went along and ate it? Love. Because he was created. In God's image. We don't understand really how much Jesus loves us, but he was the second man, Adam, created in God's image. Do you think he had to go to the cross? You think he had to let them beat him and nail him? He could have just blinked his eye and wished them out of existence. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was because he was seeing you as an innocent baby. He could have walked away. How many of us would walk away from a baby left on the side of the road? Would you do that? Would you do that? Would you walk away from a baby? We don't understand truly God's love. But if we are to get to the full measure, that's what we have for one another. Do not look at me as I am, because I'll disappoint you. When I turned on that camera, I know my wife was disappointed. She probably thought I had got up, put on a shirt, got dressed, but hey, there was no one else there. Who am I getting dressed up for? But God is seeing us not as you are, but how you can be. He loves us so much. And we hear it, but it just goes over our head most of the time. This is the reason why Adam eight. It's because he loved us. The Bible doesn't say that explicitly, but the Bible does tell us that he was not deceived. The woman was in the error. She was tricked, but he was not. So he knew the moment she told him that story, this isn't true. What am I going to do? If I don't eat, she's going to be destroyed. Maybe I can save her if I take her sin. Isn't that what Jesus did? That's what it says. He took our sin because he loved us so much. That's what it means to be firstborn in his image, is that you're going to look at people not as they are, jerks, hateful, mean, wicked, evil. But if you can see through Jesus' eyes, this is a soul that possibly is going to spend eternity in damnation. You would be sorrowful for them. You would be in travail for that person. You'd be praying for that person. See, the reason why they're like that is 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image, in other words, who is the love of God, should shine unto them. Some people can't receive love. All they have been programmed is hate and bitterness and what's been done to them. That's because that's the God of this world blinding their minds that they cannot receive the image of God, which is love, which is Jesus Christ. In fact, God wants us now, just as Jesus came and was the firstborn, we now are supposed to be carrying his image. Did you know that? You are supposed to carry God's image. Now, we can be like James and John was. I want to bring judgment on everybody. Man, that person messed up. Pastor should kick him out the praise team. Pastor should throw him out of church. Maybe they deserve it. But could you pray for them? Could you love them and say, this is so sad. They had such potential. They had such they could be used so much of God, yet they messed up. See, we're supposed to be God's image bearer. Look at this. This is what we were born again to provide. See, God has given us another chance. That's why we're born again, so that we can be like as babes. The scripture says, desired the word of the milk of God's word, so that we can again be in his image. Look at this, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. That's why you come to Sunday school, that you get knowledge after the image of him that created him. Do you understand what the scripture is saying? That we are supposed to be created again when we're filled with the Spirit in his image. 1 Corinthians 15:49 tells us that we had born a broken image, but we're going to get a heavenly image. Look at this. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Have we been changed yet? Maybe we're still going through the process, but that change should make us love one another, care about one another. That's what about being born, being firstborn, are changed into the same image. That means we're supposed to be changed in the same image as Jesus Christ, who to the soldiers who was whipping him and beating him up and ripping out his beard, said, Father, forgive them. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to do to some people. Let's just be honest. That's not what I feel. I want to destroy them. But then I have to think about what God has done for me. Sister Lavinia.
Praise the Lord. About 30 years ago, somebody did something to me really, really, and it was really bad. And they did some lying and stuff up me. So, but I hated this person for up until I got saved in 1998. But The Bible said when we're in Christ, we're new creatures. Old things have passed away. And I had to forgive her for what she did. But the mind state that I had then, I didn't want to forgive her. I really wanted to kill her, you know, to be honest. But I wasn't saved then. But once you get saved, you are a different person. You are a new creature in Christ. And the things that you used to do, you don't do them anymore. So, but when Sister Neil was talking about her son, it brought me back to my oldest son. He had did some things in 1998, and I actually had the hate, but I said, this is my child. I said, I know what the devil wanted me to kill him, because if I had had a gun, I probably would have shot my son. But the love that I had for my son, because he was a baby once, I couldn't do it. And but the love of God saved me 2 months later. And this is what God was trying to show me. This is the devil that wanted you to do what you had in your heart. But I said, this is my child. This is my firstborn son. And the stuff that I had in my heart, I couldn't do it. But God saved me. That was February, his birthday. And God saved me in April. And I give God the glory for it.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, I just thank you that you gave me another heart, because this is not what you wanted me to do. So the mind that we had when we weren't saved, we have to change. We have a total mind, a different mind when we get saved, because we are new creatures in Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. That's so true. That's so true. See, as I've saying, when we come to Christ and are born again, we are supposed to become image bearers. Image bearers. We now represent God. We are supposed to bear his image. And I just, three scriptures there. The Bible says we are changed into the same image. Wow. Is that possible? Can we be changed into the same image? That's the journey that we're on. We may not be all at the same place, but that's where we're supposed to be going. Paul said, it's not as if I have attained, but I press. It's not easy. Because this flesh wants to get back at people, wants to do something else, doesn't want to you know, we would want to be back in the law. Yeah, let's have some judgment on these people. Let's stone them to death. But that's not the spirit that God wants. That was not his image. That's not the image. Adam could have said, well, you messed up. I know better. I know that was a trick. But, and I know the Bible doesn't say this, but we can put two and two together. The Bible says he was not deceived. That means he knew this was a lie. So that means he knew that in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? So what other reason would he have for participating other than he hoped to save her? And that's exactly why Jesus is called the second man Adam. He took our sins knowing what it would cost him, because he loved us so much. That thought always chokes me up. That God loved us, loved you so much. We cannot understand truly what it cost to become a man and let your creation brutalize you. When all you had to do is, he told his, I could ask the Father and he'd send me 12 legions. But he also said, for this cause came I, because this was the only way to redeem mankind, was for him who knew no sin to become sin, just as Adam did. And in fact, the Bible says that the woman shall be saved. In that same scripture where it gives us the revelation that Adam understood what he was doing, it said, nevertheless, the woman shall be saved through childbearing. And it was because of the fact that Adam stayed with her, she was then able to have a child, because it was the promise of the child that would come that would crush the serpent's head. So although she messed up, God found a way. God can take our failures, our messes, if we will repent, if we will be humble and come to him. See, because his image is love and redemption. And we can be changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even how it's going to be done, it says by the Spirit of the Lord. It can't be done by you wanting it. It can't be done by us wishing it. It can't be done by us coming to church. You have to have the Spirit of God. That's what it says. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It takes God's Spirit, because my spirit don't want that. My spirit and my temper, I think, have gotten worse. Less patient. But we need to be God's image. You know what? I think the only reason why God has had so much mercy upon me is because I've learned one thing. If there's one thing I've learned in the last 20 years is to show mercy to others. And every time I see someone who's going through some stuff, I try and remember, that could have been me. I'm not that perfect. It could have been me. Lord, show them mercy. Show them grace. Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall. Don't have a condemning spirit. Don't have a condemning. That's not God's image. No. That's not God's image. You see, why it calls Jesus the firstborn from creation, as I said, is because he is preeminent. That means he was the first of the kind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Unlike, contrary to how the Jehovah's Witnesses have it in their Bible, they change that to say, and the Word was a God. No, he wasn't one of many. He is the only. He is preeminent. That's why the Bible says he's firstborn, the firstborn of every, the prototokos is what it says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That means you're not going to get no blessing, no deliverance, no healing unless you know him, unless you're born again, unless you are going to bear his image. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the... He what is first. He wants to be first in your life. When it says he is preeminent, that means... I'm going to give you another tip here. Another reason why we don't get prayers answered is because he is not preeminent. We have not made it all about him. It's all about what we want. What I want is all kinds of other things than what God wants. I'd like to do nothing. I'd like to stay in my bed this morning. But what did Jesus teach us? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When he came into the garden, in his humanity, he felt just like we feel. But again, he was an image bearer. He was the express image of the invisible God. He says, I do nothing of myself. I only do what I see the Father does. Wow, wouldn't that be a testimony if all we did was what the Father wanted? Boy, we would live such different lives to the way we live if we were doing nothing but what the Father says, go and hug that person who just cursed you out. Give that person a call and tell them you're sorry. But I didn't do anything wrong. Call them and say you're sorry and that you love them. I can't do that. All right. Jesus in the garden said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he didn't leave it there. He said, nevertheless, not what I want. I tell you, I've said this. This is another revelation for you. The greatest thing, the very greatest thing you can ever say is if you can say that and actually mean it. When you can come to the place in your life when you say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When you can say that and mean it, ooh, you have achieved some power. You may not know it, but you have just stepped up a level or two, because if you can say that and mean it and carry it out, there is nothing that the devil can do to you. Sister Johnny.
I tell you, about 16 years ago, before I was saved, I had a tragic incident happen where my daughter was raped. And it was the most terrible thing that I had ever been through. And sometime after all of this happened, someone told me about Jesus. At this time, I was Jehovah's Witness. but I was slacking in it because I realized that it had to be more. So at this time, someone was telling me about Jesus, and this person is passed now, but they spoke a word to me that caused me to think. They said Jesus and Jehovah is the same person, and so that caused me to think. And I had began to think, and then I came to the point where I really wanted to be saved, but I had a hate in my heart that I tell you that I, even with being saved, I had refused to forgive the person who had done this to my child, you know. And someone at the church spoke to me one day, and they said, you know, if you don't forgive this person, God is not going to forgive you. That caused me to even hate even more. I began to just be angry even more to say, like, if I got to forgive this person, then, Lord, I don't even want to be saved because ain't no way I'm going to forgive this person for what they did to my child, you know. But, you know, as time went on, I'm telling you how God is just so amazing. One day he calls the people whose son this was that raped my daughter, he calls them to call me. And so they was not supposed to have any contact with me. But they did call me one day, and the lady got on the phone, and she said, you know, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry for everything that happened. And we began to cry on the phone. And after that point, I kind of, like, eased up a little bit, but I still was saying to myself, I'm not going to forgive this person. But then it was when their mother got on her sick bed, the person who raped my daughter, mother, got sick. And I used to be really close to these people before all of this happened. So once the mother got sick and it was to the point of death, one of the daughters called and asked me if I could come to Mississippi and pray for their mother. And I'm telling you, this is what God did to me. He caused me to have to go there to this family and to walk in their house and to have to just start talking to them. And I'm telling you, he used me to witness to them. We had a whole day of just witnessing and praying and talking to the people before their mother died. I even had to go back and I went to her funeral. But this is how God dealt with me with this situation. He put me back in the path of the people so that I would have to minister to them because they knew nothing really about the gospel, even though they had heard about God. And their mother, she was gay too. So even at that point, God used me to just minister to her and talk to her before she passed on in her family. And now one of her daughters is saved and she's also preaching the gospel.
Amen. Amen. God is so merciful. He can, you know, I don't know. I have not walked in your shoes. I just don't know if I could, you know. I'm so glad God has not put that test in front of me. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. That takes the Spirit of God. In your flesh, there's just no way you could forgive someone for that. I'd want to kill him. I'm sure you did too. But God's mercy and his grace is beyond. Because actually, Jesus showed that many of us are murderers, adulterers. It's what you think. It doesn't matter if you did it or not. All things were made by him and was nothing made that was made. He has to be first in our lives. When Christ is born, he has to be first in our lives. That's a key to getting your prayer answered. If we put God at the bottom, then he's going to put us at the bottom. Says, if you're not ashamed of him, he won't be ashamed of you. He's going to call your name before the Father. April, you have something to say? Come on now. You can say it. I'm so glad to see you today. Amen. Come on, April. Amen. You're a blessing every time I see you here. Amen. Amen.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, when you said about if you can't forgive someone for something they did to you, because my sister made me really mad one time, and I have a friend he's a Christian person, and I was at his house, and we were eating dinner and stuff, and my sister had made me really mad, and I just didn't want to forgive her for nothing in the world, but he was like, well, call her. You know, just like you just said, he was like, call her and tell her you're sorry. And I'm like, call her and tell her I'm sorry. I didn't do nothing to her. I'm not calling her and telling her I'm sorry. And he was like, well, that's what God wants you to do. And I just kept sitting back thinking, like, well, I'm not calling her because the grudge that I have, I'm like, I'm not calling her because I didn't do nothing to her. Why do I have to call and say I'm sorry to her? And he was like, well, maybe she is not you. Maybe she doesn't have the spirit you have. And I just kept thinking, like, well, maybe I don't have that spirit neither because I'm not going to call her. And I sat there for a minute, and I just closed my eyes, and I thought, and I just listened to God for a minute, and I said, well, maybe he's right. So I began to text my sister, like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm sorry for what me and you went through, but I am sorry, and I hope you can forgive me, but I still felt really weird about doing it, but it did help me, and God came right to my rescue, like, well, call her. And I went on ahead and did it. And we were back talking then.
Amen. 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 You see, it's not about being in the right with man. It's being about being in the right with God. See, we think that we have to justify ourselves, but it is God that justifies. That's what the scripture says. I'd rather be justified by God than with man. Because it doesn't matter so much in the end what you think about me as much as what God thinks about me. Amen? Amen, Sister Johnny.
I'm sorry. I just want to say one more thing. You know, during this time, I had all this hate in me, which lasted about 5 years. But, you know, I want to just say that's the reason why my mom is here today. Nothing could never get her out of Mississippi. But the incident that happened to me drove my mom to come to Wisconsin, and that's the reason why she's here today. And all the hate that I was feeling for the 5 years, you know, they have it where the people who done this thing to you have to pay you a restitution. I found that to be disgusting. I was so upset with this person, but yet and still, the jailhouse was sending me these checks, and it had got to a stack of them like this. I had kept them and just throw them in the closet because I refused to take any money. It was just tearing me up that somebody could actually want to give you some money for what they done did to you. So that causes me not to open the checks. But after 5 years, God dealt with me with this situation. One day, I just started to open the checks. And when I got done adding the checks up, I had $6,000.
Wow. Amen. See, God can change our hearts. The Bible said that we are changed into that what? Same image. I'm almost finished, but we have to make God preeminent. That's why the Bible calls him the firstborn, that he is preeminent. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. So if you're not going along with the plan of God, if you think everything's created for you, if you think your life is designed to please you, then you're not in alignment with being him being firstborn. He is the prototype. He is our leader. You know, you can never be a good leader unless you first learn to follow. Did you hear what I said? You can never be a good leader unless you first learn to follow. You know, in my job at work, I'm about the second level to the, there's one guy ahead of me. And so anytime we go into meetings, I let him lead. Now, it's not that I don't know what to do or could lead the meeting, but I let him lead. Because I understand what it is when you're in charge and you can't get no cooperation. And it's funny how you see people who want to lead, and when they were not the leader, they would not cooperate. And then when they become the leader, they find out what it's like when you get no cooperation. See, we have to cooperate with God so that he can lead us. We can't try and lead ourselves. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it goes on to say, you lead me in paths of righteousness. See, a lot of us don't want to be led. We have to let Jesus be preeminent. Think about that. Think about areas of your life. Is he preeminent? Is he the first? I can think of some areas of my life where I really have to say I don't think he's the first that I got to work on. I can think of, I'd rather study some book on science or something maybe sometimes than read the Bible. You see, that's my flesh. I have to make sure that he's preeminent. There may be some areas in my life, your life, where he's not preeminent. When we totally align with God's will and plan, there is nothing, no good thing will he withhold from us. Because he has to be firstborn in our lives too. Now, this aligns, Sister Mary, Sister Janice, are you here? Here's the scripture I was going to, when you said that we have to make sure about ourselves. 1 John 5:18, if everyone could stand with me. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but that he is begotten of God keepeth himself. You said we have to make sure that we keep ourselves. We have to keep ourselves away from some things. God will help us. But we also have to help ourselves. If I know I have a problem with a certain thing, I avoid that thing as much as I can. If I'm an alcoholic, I don't go into a bar and start to sit down at the bar, right? And then blame God if I start to get drunk. That's not God's fault. He has to be preeminent in our decision making. Preeminent, because he needs to be firstborn in our lives. When it says firstborn, it also means preeminent. For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but that he is begotten of God, keepeth himself. Now when it says sinneth not, it's not saying that we are perfect, but it means it's speaking about deliberate. Knowing you're an alcoholic and you go into a bar and sit down there, that's tempting your flesh. Knowing that there's something you're weak at and then trying to go right in that, that's what it's saying. In the Old Testament, there was no forgiveness for just deliberately, you know, doing stuff. You know, you go buy a gun and you plan the route that the person's going to come and you shoot at them. That's deliberate. Now, if you just happen to get into a fight and something happens, the person falls and hit their head, that's accidental. But when you plan and go buy the gun, buy the bullets, stalk them, that's deliberate. But he that is begotten of God, that means firstborn. Begotten means to be born. Keepeth himself. And that the wicked one toucheth him not. That's a promise. Did you hear what I'm saying? You avoid certain things, the wicked one will not touch you. You can stand upon that promise. You avoid certain things, the wicked one can't touch you. MC Hammer can't touch that. That's a bit out of date now, but can't touch that. If you're being touched, it's because you're not keeping yourself. You have not been fully begotten. But don't give up. Don't give up. The Bible says that God's love has been shed abroad. Let his glorious light shine upon you. Help that love and that warm that bitter heart. Line up with God's plan and be his image bearer. Tomorrow morning when you get up and go to work, say, I'm created in his image. I'm created in his image. That means I'm not going to go cuss out somebody. No, I'm his image. I'm bearing his image. I want to present what God would look like to someone else if he was standing right here. How would he react? You know those little armbands? What would Jesus do? Amen. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. There's lots of stuff I don't want to do. But that's what he's called us, firstborn. If you could bow your head with me. Father, we just thank you today for your presence, for your anointing, for your word. Help us, I pray, that you, oh God, be first.